God to remind God's people in the Old Testament of their marvelous deliverance out of Egypt. Boys and girls, you will remember from school and from catechism the Old Testament story of Joseph. Joseph, mistreated by his brothers, sold to the Midianites and delivered down to Egypt. There he was a slave. Finally, from a slave, he is raised up to be one of the rulers of Egypt. You'll remember that there was a terrible famine in the land of Israel. While there was plenty of food, by God's grace, in Egypt. And so Jacob's family has to travel from Canaan down into Egypt. There, by God's providence, they are kept alive. But then also by God's providence, after many different pharaohs, there was a pharaoh that did not remember the story of Joseph and why Jacob's family lived there in Egypt. And so the lives of the Hebrews were at stake. That is, they were made slaves. And even while they were made slaves, God blessed them so abundantly that they grew in numbers, so that finally the Pharaoh ordered that all the baby boys would be drowned in the River Nile. What a terrible time it was. What oppression, what bondage. God sent his servant Moses to deliver his people out of Egypt. Moses comes and says, "Let my people go." And Moses and Pharaoh will not allow them to go. And so there were the 10 terrible plagues. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And so finally there was that last plague, where the angel of death would sweep over Egypt and would strike and kill all the firstborn of Egypt, whether it be mankind or whether it be the animals. But then in Exodus 12, verse 13, we read, "The blood shall be a sign. It will be a token upon your houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you when I smite the land of Egypt." What a night that was. As they roasted their lambs, as they took the blood over the door, the lintel, and the doorpost of their house, the angel of death passed over, and Israel was delivered. Now we need to look at that a little more closely. There must be a lamb selected out of the Israelite flocks. They were to do this not just that night, but they were to do it then every year afterwards as a memorial. That lamb that was to be selected was to be a lamb that was spotless. It was without blemish. In other words, it couldn't be an old sheep that was almost ready to die. It couldn't be a sick sheep. No, they were to choose a perfect, a spotless, and yes, a very innocent lamb. One lamb for each family, or if the family was very small or couldn't eat much of it, they could combine with another family. And whatever they could not eat in that night, then they were to burn to get rid of it. They were to select this little lamb on the 10th day of the first month. They were to take the little lamb and separate it from the rest of the sheep of the flock. And then they were to kill it on the 14th day. And Moses says, now this is going to be the first month of your year. That's how you're going to begin every year, in a remembrance of that lamb that was slain, whose blood was put over your door, and you were delivered from your bondage. On the lintel, on the doorpost, not on the floorboards, lest that blood be trampled underfoot. They were to take a branch of hyssop, which would act like a paintbrush, and they would put that on the doors. That would be their preserving cover. The preserving covering from that avenging angel that would punish, that would kill all the firstborn. He would pass over those houses that were covered with blood. Yes, that lamb had to be roasted, not boiled in water, but it would go through the flames of fire, pointing forward to the Lamb of God who would go through the fire of God's wrath in our place. And the boys and girls were to ask their parents every year that this feast was celebrated, why? Why, as the people of God, those who were chosen by God, why do we have to put that blood over our doors? That angel of death won't touch us, will he? And then the parents would respond to their boys and their girls, and they say, you know, you and I are not any different than the Egyptians. You and I also deserve the judgment of God, for we are sinners. We need the blood to cover us. Every year, these parents were to remind their children. We read in Exodus 12, verse 26, and it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean you by this service? That you will say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. So I want you to notice that this feast of the Passover pointed first of all to the forgiveness of sins by the covering of sin. But it is not only the forgiveness of sins, but that feast of the Passover also marked the deliverance of God's people from Egypt. They were made a new, a separate people. And so the feast of the Passover, held every year, was a memorial. A remembrance of what took place. But is that all it is? Can a little lamb, an animal, really cleanse and save and deliver? You see, that feast of the Passover that had been celebrated now for almost 1,500 years should also cause God's people to look forward. Forward to that promised seed of the woman who would come and by his blood, once and for all, cleanse and make new. So this feast of the Passover, held for 1,500 years by the time the Apostle Paul writes this, was a reminder of a deliverance once given, but also was supposed to look forward to the day when the Lamb would come who would take away sins and bring new life. That, beloved, brings me to my second point of the sermon. Jesus. Jesus Christ is that Lamb of God. Isn't that the way that Jesus' public ministry began? When Jesus came down to the river where John the Baptist was baptizing people for the sins unto remission. John the Baptist cried out one day, "Behold! Behold the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world." What a wake-up call. 1500 years had been going by where lamb after lamb after lamb was sacrificed. And now, behold the Lamb, not a Lamb, but behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God. Because God in eternity chose His Son. Chose His Son, Jesus Christ, to be the head of His people. To be the Savior of His people. To be the ruler and the Lord of His people. God in eternity chose Jesus Christ, and in time, yes, in the fullness of time, the Virgin gave birth. God sent His Son into the world. God sent His only begotten Son in the likeness of our sinful flesh. That means He had a real body and soul in order to stand in your my places. In order to suffer and die the death that you and I deserve because of our sins. Jesus is that blameless. Jesus is that spotless. Jesus is that innocent Lamb. He had absolutely no sin of His own. But He had been separated out by God. And can you imagine when the Israelites took that little lamb out of their flock and locked it up all by itself? Oh, how that little lamb must have bleated, cried out. What a picture. When the Lord Jesus, 4 days before His death, rode into Jerusalem on a donkey saying, "I am the Lamb and I am the King that is given to you to save you." Yes. Yes, He is separated out. If you go in the Gospels, you have over and over, especially Matthew 26 and Matthew 27, the wonderful, powerful teaching that Jesus had been separated out. Oh, how He bleated when He cursed that fig tree because it was barren. How He bleated when He walked into the temple and He saw them buying and selling their, making God's holy temple a place of merchandise. His bleating as He warns His disciples about the leaven of the Pharisees and the scribes, and as He gives them instructions for when He's going to leave them. So important it is for us to realize when we read the Gospels, Jesus knew His hour. The room had been prepared for His celebrating the Passover one more time with His disciples. Did they realize what was taking place? Could Jesus' death have taken place on any other day or any other month of the year except for the 14th day of the first month of the year? And the answer is absolutely not. No, His death has to take place on the day when the feast of the Passover is celebrated. Jesus knew His hour. You will remember that when the Jewish leaders wanted to put Jesus to death, they said, not on the feast day, not on the feast day. And God says, yes. Yes, the Lamb of God is going to suffer and die on the feast day, the feast of the Passover. Here is the blood that typically was shed every year for 15,000 years. Here is the blood that once and for all will cover and remove sins of the world. As I said, the feast of Passover looked back, but it also pointed forward. What was God going to do now about our spiritual bondage? The physical lambs were sacrificed so that Israel could be delivered from their physical bondage in Egypt. But what about our spiritual bondage? Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us, not to be repeated. How the book of Hebrews points out that Jesus was sacrificed once and for all. The blood of those little lambs could not remove any sins. They could not substitute for sinners. It requires the perfect love and willing obedience of God's Son to His Father. There on the cross, while all of His life, and especially there on the cross, He takes God's infinite wrath for our sins upon Himself. Beloved, Christ, our Passover, sacrificed Himself for us. That is what we remember today at the Lord's table. That the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken unto a complete remission of all our sins. That's what we remember when the blood, when the wine is poured out. That Jesus' blood was poured out for a complete remission of our sins. Jesus knew that He was the Lamb that God has given. Do you remember, boys and girls, that story from the Old Testament of Abraham when he's taking his son Isaac up to Mount Moriah? And little Isaiah, he wasn't so young, he was about 22 years old. But he asked his dad a good question. He says, Dad, here's the fire and here's the wood, but where is the sacrifice? And Abram says to his son, the Lord will provide. Beloved, rejoice. The Lord has provided His own Son. In Hebrews 5, verse 7, we read, Jesus in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death. Father, take this cup away from me, but not my will, Thy will be done. Hebrews 9, verse 26, but now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Yes, obediently and willingly He gave that sacrifice. We read in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 5 through 7, a body hast Thou prepared me. In sacrifices and offerings for sin Thou hast no pleasure. Lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. In your mind's eye, do you see the innocent, spotless Lamb who was selected by God in eternity, provided in time for that sacrifice? Now the fire of God's wrath coming down from heaven to consume him. Why did Jesus have to die that way? No, he could not die in a moment by a sword or by a rope around his throat. He needed to hang upon that cross during those three dark hours and beyond, because you and I needed that willing and obedient sacrifice. Why do you and I need it? Yes, parents, explain to your children today, as the Israelites had to explain it to their children every year at the Feast of the Passover. Explain to your children, if we are not covered by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, we perish. We are called to flee from the wrath to come. For that avenging angel of death is going to come again and will destroy in hell all those who remain in their sins. Unless you and I are in our houses covered with the blood of the Lamb, that is the principle of our new life. We are God's people, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we come to the table this morning to do this in remembrance of Christ, as Christ commanded us. The blood of Jesus. In a couple of weeks from now, we're going to see it symbolized by the water of baptism. When water is sprinkled on us, it's the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. And as we now come to the table of the Lord to drink the wine and eat the bread, we remember the blood of Jesus Christ, and we eat Him for our continued strength and life in Christ Jesus. Oh, may we sing of the blood of Jesus Christ. We live in a world in which much of the church now despises what they call blood theology. How the blood of Jesus saves us. But we read in our Bibles, Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than now being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him." Or as the Apostle Paul writes concerning the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 16, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a communion of the blood of Jesus Christ?" Or again, in Ephesians chapter 1 or Colossians chapter 1, "We have been redeemed through His blood." Hebrews 13 verse 20, "It is the blood of the covenant." Or once again, 1 Peter 1 verse 19, "We have been redeemed not with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spots." So the apostle writes in our text, 1 Corinthians 5, verses 7, 8, "We have been redeemed," how? "Through the blood of Christ Jesus, our sacrifice," our Passover sacrifice for us. "Therefore, let us keep the feast." Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. The apostle is grounding the feast of the unleavened bread in the sacrifice of Christ, our Passover. Holiness is demanded of us. That is the fruit of Jesus' passion and death. Lives of obedience for the church and for believers individually is impossible while they refuse to put away their sin. We cannot walk in the way of love for God and the way of holiness while we maintain fellowship with sin, reveling in it, keeping it in our hearts. Doing so, the church makes vain her confession to have eaten the Passover lamb, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ cannot be eaten in faith along with the leaven of sin. And therefore the injunction, an urgent injunction, let us keep the feast of unleavened bread. That is really the apostle's main interest here in this pericope of Scripture. He uses that old picture as he comes to the church of Corinth. Corinth was an exceedingly wicked world, city. All kinds of sin. And sad to say, the church living in Corinth, instead of being ashamed of sin, was gloating over it. There was a man there guilty of incest. And rather than being shamed and putting him out, they were gloating how big their hearts were. Everyone was included in the church of God, no matter what they did. Oh, beloved, doesn't that sound familiar today? A church makes a woman an elder who is living as a lesbian. And they gloat. They are ahead of the rest of the pack in their denomination. We're going to go this way. We tolerate this. What big-hearted and big-minded people we are. Eat the bread, the unleavened bread. Put away the leaven of sin. Have no fellowship with sin. Be sorry for your sin. Run from sin. Our entire lives are to be holy. Notice this feast of unleavened bread was 7 days. Number 7 is the day number of the covenant, isn't it? The number 3 of the triune God with 4 God's people. We are to put away sin, not just this past week or not just today as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, but our entire lives. Purge out the old leaven. Beloved, the implications are far-reaching. The church of Corinth was gloating, allowing for a member in their church to walk in this sin of incest. The thing with leaven is that leaven permeates the whole loaf. And if the church does not discipline that person who willingly, unconfessedly walks in sin, that sin is going to permeate the whole church. Put them out! Discipline's called for. Our beloved, if the church is going to do that corporately, then the church has to do that also individually. What folly it would be for a preacher or for the elders to demand godly lives if individually in their own lives or in the lives of the people they willingly walk in sin. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast of unleavened bread. Put that leaven of sin out of yourselves. Repent of it. Flee from it. You cannot have fellowship with sin and eat Christ our Passover. We need to live godly lives. Purge out the leaven of malice and wickedness. What urgency there is in our text before us this morning. Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Eating unleavened bread, that is experience, fellowship, and salvation that is purchased by the Lamb. Be sensitive to sin, its ugliness, and its hatefulness to God. Recognize that sin in your life. Be sorry for it. Flee from it. Flee to the cross of Jesus Christ. He was sacrificed for us not only for the forgiveness of our sins, that's part, but also to deliver us from that life of sin so that we might live new lives, lives of praise, lives worthy of the sacrifice He gave. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of Me." We are new members, a new creation, and now we eat and we drink Christ Jesus in order to be nourished and strengthened to godliness. Amen. Let's turn to the form for the Lord's Supper. You can find that on page 91 of your Psalters. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ as they were delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it, and He said, "Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine